Christopher Reeve died yesterday of heart failure resulting from an infected pressure wound. He was 52. Reeve became a star for his role as Superman, but he became a real-life hero for the spirit and drive he maintained after the 1995 horseback riding accident that broke his neck just below the brainstem, preventing his brain from sending messages to his body. It left him paralyzed from the neck down. But he kept up a rigorous program of physical therapy and managed to do some acting and directing. He also became an advocate for stem cell research, which has the possibility of benefiting people with spinal cord injuries. 2 years ago, he surprised doctors when he announced that he could voluntarily move his index finger and had regained some movement and sensation in other parts of his body. Not long after that announcement, with the help of his medical aides, he went to the NPR Bureau in New York to record a Fresh Air interview. You know, you've been kind of forced to really live in your mind a lot. Do you have the kind of mind that ever turns against you? Do you have the kind of mind that you have to be careful of? I mean, that you have to consciously try to prevent from turning against you? Or are you okay with that?
Well, oddly enough, my mind probably turned against me more before the accident than afterwards. When I was on my feet, I remember being very self-critical and particularly because I was an actor, a performer, and, was always competitive, trying to do my best. After a performance some evening, I'd say, oh, that wasn't the best I could do. Or I should have been doing this, could do that better. And so I beat myself up a lot more before the accident. And then after I was injured, I had to learn some patience. I had to learn forgiveness of myself, first of all. Because, frankly, my first reaction after being injured was that I'd done the unthinkable. I'd injured not only myself, but those around me, because they would be affected. My wife, my children, it was not, my own mess, but a mess for everybody. So at first I was very guilty. And then I found that, no, my family loved me just the way I was, that we were all still together, although things would be different. And I learned a lot about finding peace and patience and about being rather than doing as the essential component of relationships. So I actually benefited in an unexpected way.
Neetney, you wrote, I think this was in your earlier book, Still Me, you wrote that, because there was so much going wrong with your body and so much you had to pay attention to, you had to be aware of your body all the time, and you were forced to become a serious student of yourself. And, it's funny about injury or disease. It can force you into a level of self-absorption and self-consciousness that you've never had before. And I guess I'm wondering about that experience for you, too, the level of self-absorption that is forced on you.
That was the thing I was striving most to get rid of. And that's one of the most satisfying aspects of my recovery. Because in the beginning, when I was suffering from ulcers and blood clots, then skin breakdowns and pneumonia, collapsed lungs, etc. Then I had to really pay attention all the time. For example, every 30 minutes, I had to make sure to shift my position in the chair, to tilt it back or tilt it forward to change the weight distribution. I used to have to go to bed at 6:30 in the evening in order to get the weight off of my, rear end and lie flat. I had to be turned every 2 hours. Being forced to pay attention to your body, in ways like that, just to recover your health, that drove me nuts. And finally, because of the exercise that I did, because of an excellent wheelchair seat, believe it or not, the quality of the cushion that you're sitting on in a wheelchair makes tremendous difference. Because of all the exercise, now I'm at the point where basically I'm free, much more or freer from that kind of self-absorption, and that makes a tremendous difference.
You said you had to learn how to get pleasure watching people do things that you used to be able to do yourself. I imagine that would be hard to get over the jealousy or resentment or anger over watching people do things that you can't do anymore. Even people you love, even watching your kids.
Yeah, I don't want to sound so noble either, because there's times when I just get so jealous, I have to admit. You know, I see somebody just get up out of a chair and stretch, and I go, no, you're not even thinking about what you're doing and how lucky you are to do that. So, no, I do the best I can, but I have moments where I wish just people don't take it for granted because, you know, God forbid, you know, you could slip on a wet floor and you'd be in my position in a heartbeat.
You write a little bit about your father in your book, and
yes.
Something you said about your father is that he was into theater, and he was into a more kind of political activist kind of theater.
Right.
And it sounds like he expected you to go that route too. And it sounds as if your rebellion against your father was fighting for the right to be in the mainstream.
Well, I felt that I wanted to be, I didn't want to be a starving artist. I didn't want to be, you know, someone, you know, who never has, a secure roof over his head and struggling. But on the other hand, you know, I didn't want to just sell out. Then I feel, actually, looking back at my career, that it's, it ranges from big commercial films like Superman.
To Merchant Ivory films, yeah.
To Merchant Ivory, and The Bostonians and The Remains of the Day are two films that I'm extremely proud of, and my father was too, as a matter of fact. So I think he just didn't want me to become an action hero.
Did he put you down for accepting Superman?
No, it was very funny that... Actually, I was doing a play off Broadway. We went out for dinner afterwards, and then he said to me, this is back in 1977, he said, so what are you doing next? And he said, and I said, well, I think I'm gonna be doing Superman. And he said, great, well, who's playing Anne? And I said, Anne? Oh, and I realized he thought I meant Shaw's man in Superman. And the female lead's name is Anne. I said, no, actually... That this is the other Superman, and the female lead is Lois Lane. And there was a dead silence at the table. And but anyway, you know, he was not at all thrilled by my going off to do this, you know, big budget, quote, cartoon. And yet, when he saw the film and saw the dignity of the film, and great actors like Gene Hackman and Marlon Brando and Terrence Stamp, he absolutely... He changed his mind. He enjoyed it as much as anybody else.
You had to pump up to play Superman. Do you think the muscles that you developed for that role ended up coming in handy after your injury? I mean, did they help you?
Well, I'd like to say that, but the Superman was 25 years ago. I mean,
right.
I mean, the discipline to pump up muscles, though, remained. In fact, I had a deal when I was... I had to transform myself from a skinny 6'4", 185-pound weakling. Not a weakling, but nevertheless, I was very, very thin. And a very unlikely candidate to play Superman. In fact, I'll never forget the reaction of the press when I was introduced at a press conference at Sardi's by the producers. I walked in the room wearing a blue blazer, a button-down shirt, khakis and loafers. I mean, I'm a preppy from Princeton, I had to say. And I'm sure the media took a look at me and said, this is unbelievable. So anyway, I had to train very, very hard. Then I had an agreement. They gave me a driver in London because, I don't know, they didn't want me driving on the left side of the road. And I said to him, look, at the end of the day, when I get finished with work, even if I say, take me home, take me to the gym anyway. So I would doze off in the back of the car and I'd find myself at the gym. And once I was there, there was no choice but to go in and exercise. And that's what I did, 2 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Do you ever watch your old movies?
I do sometimes, you know, particularly when they come out on DVD because... You know, on DVD, they have extra footage or behind the scenes.
Right, right. Is it creepy for you to watch your movies because it's another life?
No, believe it or not, in spite of the fact that the accident was a defining moment of before and after. In the 7 years since my injury, I've learned to see my life as a continuum. And I think that's a good sign of mental health. I mean, I think it's the sign of adjustment, so that I'm able to look at myself, from the past and see it as one line.
Christopher Reeve, he died yesterday at the age of 52. Our interview was recorded 2 years ago.